الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders. Alhamdulillah, 2 weeks ago there was a very detailed program on Hajj in this masjid. Some brothers didn't manage to make it for that program. They had asked for some advice. So it was decided that we will just discuss some general advice on Hajj in this particular program and gathering. Perhaps there might be the majority that are not intending to go for Hajj or have planned to go for Hajj this year. But in any case, a mu'min, his heart is attached to every ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, and especially the ibadat of Hajj, whether he is personally planning to go or not, his heart is in Hajj. He is very much attached to this great display of the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the ishq and the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. So inshallah, the advice would be a means of us becoming more conscious of this great ibadat. And even if we're not planning to go, Allah Ta'ala make it a means of benefit for all of us. The ibadat of Hajj, this is one of the pillars of Islam. The fifth pillar of Islam that itself highlights how great and how important this is. And the importance of it is highlighted by the various virtues that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned for the one who performs Hajj. The one who performs Hajj, he returns like a person who is born, a newly born baby, completely free of any sin. Though there's detail in it, there are certain exclusions, etc. There are certain details which we don't have the time to go into all the details now, but nevertheless the core benefit is Allah Ta'ala's special forgiveness. The person becomes forgiven of all the sins, and then the tremendous rewards and the promise of Jannat for such a person. So in any case, this is an extremely great amal, very great ibadat. It is among the most virtuous of a'mal. In one hadith sharif, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked that which is the most virtuous of a'mal, the most significant and most virtuous. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Imanum Billah. Most virtuous, Iman. Obviously, nothing can surpass the greatness of Iman. Qila summa madha, thereafter what? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-Jihadu fi sabilillah. Jihad in the path of Allah Ta'ala. That is next in line in terms of virtue. And summa madha, what after in next in sequence? Hajjun mabrur. Person who performs Hajj, and that Hajj is performed in such a way that it is mabrur. Now what is mabrur all about, we'll inshallah discuss soon. But this is the sequence in which in this particular hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlighted the significance of Hajj. That after Iman and Jihad, on the third level, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned Hajj. So very, very great amal. So the person who has been blessed with this opportunity, the person who is given this great gift and bounty. So this is something to be feeling, on the one hand, extremely elated about. Such a great bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Such a great gift. So to feel extremely happy about it. But then at the same time, a mu'min, he looks at all the different angles while feeling very happy and grateful. Also at the same time, feeling in some way, so to say, embarrassed also. Embarrassed in the sense that who am I? What am I? What is my condition? And despite my condition, my Allah has called me. So I need to now, in my current condition, how am I going to go? I need to sort myself out. I need to do something. I need to get to Hajj in a way that I please Allah Ta'ala. So that is the mixed feelings that a person will have, because who can claim that I am done, I am accomplished, I am somebody already in a certain level, I am ready to go spiritually. So on the one hand, that great joy, happiness, that gratitude and shukr to Allah Ta'ala, but at the same time, balanced out with this as well, that I need to still, while I must be very grateful for this, but I need to work on some things. So any case, now that is the next point itself, that a person who has been blessed with this very, very great bounty of Hajj, these are all just some random points. They might not even be a very complete sequence in what we will discuss, but in the short time we have, some random points that inshallah Allah make it a means of benefit for me and all of us. So in any case, now comes the next point, that Allah Ta'ala blesses somebody with this opportunity. So the extremely important aspect is the preparation for it. And many of these things apply whether a person has been blessed with the opportunity of Hajj, or whether he's been blessed with the opportunity of Umrah. He is nevertheless going to Baytullah. This is a very great gift from Allah Ta'ala's side. So the same, many of the same things will apply. Certain specifics will apply to Hajj. But apart from that, it applies to both Hajj and Umrah. So in any case, now the preparation. The preparation, so in the Quran Sharif also Allah Ta'ala gives us this direction and this directive that we should be preparing. Al-Hajj ashhurum ma'lumat, faman farada feehinna al-Hajj, fala rafatha wala fusuqa wala jidala fil Hajj. Inshallah we'll discuss this just now, but to go further, Allah Ta'ala then says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرِ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Take your provisions. A person is going on a journey, so he takes his provisions. So now this is a journey which far surpasses all other journeys. It's third in rank only after Iman and Jihad. So this is a very, very great journey. On the one side, this is a journey to go and fulfill the rites of Hajj physically. So now a person will go, he will perform the tawaf, he'll make sa'i, he'll go to Mina, he'll go to Arafat, he'll come to Muzdalifa, he'll complete all the rites of Hajj physically, go through all the various requirements of Hajj. But Hajj is not merely a physical action. While without that, Hajj is not going to get done. So he has to fulfill those rites of Hajj that are required of him. But Hajj is far beyond that. Hajj, one is to go to Baytullah, to go to the house of Allah Ta'ala, to go to Kaaba Sharif. So that is necessary. He can't make tawaf anywhere else. He can't make tawaf here in South Africa. He'll have to go to Baytullah to make tawaf. Sa'i can only happen in the place where Sa'i takes place. He cannot make wukuf-i Arafah anywhere else. He can only make wukuf-i Arafah in the place that, in Arafat itself. But while this physical fulfillment is necessary, going to Baytullah is necessary, but Hajj together with going to Baytullah, the purpose is to become close to Rabbul Bayt. One is to go to Baytullah, the house of Allah Ta'ala. But in this entire process, he must get connected to the Rabb of Baytullah, to the Rabb of Kaaba Sharif. He must get connected to Allah Ta'ala. He must become very close to Allah Ta'ala. So now if a person went for Hajj, and he fulfilled the physical requirements of Hajj, but he did it in just any way, his niyat maybe not even as it should have been, the manner in which he's supposed to have conducted himself, he didn't. Allah forbid, while he went physically for Hajj, it mustn't happen, he comes even further away from Rabbul Bayt. He went to Baytullah, but he's casting lustful glances around there. So he's close to Baytullah and went even further away from Rabbul Bayt. So now this preparation, so that he becomes prepared to do the Hajj the way it's supposed to be done. Not just the physical fulfillment of the rites of Hajj, but that he goes and then returns in a way that he has become connected to Allah Ta'ala. So it's not sometimes just confined to what a person does there, but it is what he brings back also. That is really going to say what he got there, what he comes back with. So now the preparation. What is the first part of the preparation? So there's many things in the preparation, but in the few points that we can discuss now, one of the most important parts of the preparation is Tawbah. Because to the extent that the heart has been cleaned, the heart has been conditioned to connect to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to that extent one will receive. So you've got to be, the signal must be correctly connected to receive. Now a person now wants to tune in to some whatever wavelength, but now he's on a different wavelength. How is he going to receive what's coming across? He must be on the same wavelength. So now to condition the heart and correct it, correct oneself. Sincere Tawbah is the preparation for Hajj. Tawbah from what? Wadharu zahir al-ithmi wa batina. Tawbah from all external sins, Tawbah from internal sins. Tawbah of anything and everything that has been, whatever happened in the past, any transgression of the law of Allah Ta'ala, whatever might have transpired in terms of going against the Mubarak way of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Tawbah from all this. Person has been missing his salah, Tawbah from this, and start making the qaza. Maybe there's a big number now to fulfill. It might not happen in a day or two or 1 year or two, but the starting must start off. Qaza is already, and mashallah, in the time that will be available in the Mubarak safar of Hajj, in the journey of Hajj, if a person has qazas outstanding, he should be maximizing this time to complete those qazas. Just as Hajj is farz, if it's farz on him, and now he's going to fulfill his farz, Salah is also farz. So now in the process of fulfilling the one farz, he must not be missing another farz. Unfortunately, sometimes people are going for, let alone farz, going for umrah, for nafil, but in the process missing their farz salah. En route on the journey, at airports, wherever. Another person is saying, well, no, we'll see later on. He's going for nafil and missing the farz. If that was the case, then he'd rather just sit at home and make the farz. So in any case, making Tawbah from everything external and internal. Internal, the pride, the malice, the jealousy, the love of dunya, and all the other internal sins. And likewise the external sins, to make Tawbah from it. If there's some problem in terms of our appearance, to make Tawbah from that. If a person has been trimming his beard to less than a fist length, to make Tawbah from that. And to now say, that is it. I need to present myself in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Though the visit to Madinah Munawwara is not part of the rites of Hajj, but in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that it is a very serious matter that a person, he goes for Hajj and does not come to visit Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, any person who's going to go for Hajj, he will never miss out on the great opportunity of presenting himself in Madinah Munawwara and taking the great benefit, manzara qabri wajabat lahu shafa'ati, aw kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who visits my qabr, my shafa'ah will become compulsory for him. But now we need to present ourselves there. In one hadith it is mentioned, when the emissaries of Kisra came, they were clean shaven. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw them and turned his mubarak face away. He didn't want to look at them. And he asked them, who asked you to do such a thing? So he said, no, our Rabb. Or Rabb gave us this, meaning their master, their own Kisra gave them. He said, no, my Rabb commanded me to lengthen my beard. So now to make Tawbah from that. that this is now done. Now we're going to present ourselves in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way that his ruh becomes happy. So now this is the preparation, sincere tawbah. Tawbah from everything that we should have been far away from, but we slipped up in something or the other. That is the starting point of the preparation. There should be maybe 2 rakats minimum, daily nafil of salatul tawbah. Abundant istighfar. This is part of the preparation. Taqwa, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Taqwa starts off with tawbah. Taqwa is to get connected to Allah Ta'ala. If a person hasn't made tawbah, how is he going to get connected to Allah Ta'ala? So that's the first part of the preparation. Then, together in that tawbah is the hukuk of Allah Ta'ala, that too must be completed. If there are rights of people outstanding, hukukul ibad, they're all part of the preparation of Hajj to now get that sorted out. Or at least get forgiveness from the people, or make some arrangement with them, that okay, fine, please give me some respite, whatever the case is. But a person has hukuk and rights over him, and he is now moving on to try and connect himself with Allah Ta'ala, how is it going to happen? So in any case, this is the preparation. Now comes certain, there's much detail in all this, but just to move on. Person is going for Hajj. So now Hajj, any amal for that matter, that amal can be done in many ways. One way is, can just go through the motions. And another way is, that can transform his life. One person came and he performed salah in the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was observing. So it might have been at a time when it was not first salah, it just came in, so maybe he performed tahiyatul masjid or something. So after having completed his salah, he came and he made salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go and repeat your salah. You have not performed salah. Now he just completed his salah. He just completed his salah and he came and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, go and repeat it. You have not performed your salah. So he went, he did it a second time, came again the same comment. You have not performed your salah. After the third time he got the same comment, he asked, please teach me how to perform it correctly. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him. And he was a bit hasty in the standing posture after ruku, in the sitting posture between the sajdas. That haste was now the big problem. But the lesson in this, he performed the salah. But the result was, فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُسَلِّي. You have not performed it. Allah forbid we go through Hajj. On the day of Qiyamah, you didn't make Hajj. He said, no, but I made Hajj. It cost me so much also. He says, no, you didn't make Hajj. There's no Hajj written here. There's something that you did. You went through some physical movements, whatever you did, where you went, what you did and came. But there's no Hajj written for you here, because you did what you did, how you did it, Allah knows. So therefore, person is going for such a great ibadat, he should be learning what Hajj is all about. So, mashallah, the program that took place 2 weeks ago, the details were discussed. The recordings are available. There are many other programs that have probably taken place or will take place too sometime. But to acquaint ourselves well with the masail of Hajj, the various masail that pertain to the different aspects of Hajj are very easy to learn. There isn't too much detail in it. But if a person sometimes might forget something, because it's not something he does every day, obviously. So before any particular amal is going to be done, to refresh it, ask somebody. Read through some kitab. In fact, one particular book on the masail of Hajj, which a person finds, number one, make mashura with the ulama, and then take one kitab, number one, study it from cover to cover here. Something that's not too detailed and not too basic either, but covers everything in a general manner. Read it thoroughly. And then, if there's anything that is slightly also unclear, find out. Get it. Be sure about it. And then take it along. And then before doing something, refresh it. So in any case, number one is to now learn the masail of Hajj. Without the ilm, it's never going to be done correctly. So that knowledge is fundamentally important, so that it's done correctly. So So one is the correct fulfillment of the various rites of Hajj. But then in that is the intention. One is now the intention of Hajj itself. But before even setting out on Hajj, that intention in terms of complete ikhlas, correct intention and pure intention. The intention is only for Allah Ta'ala and purely for Allah Ta'ala. No other purpose in between. So now, in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Man hajja lillah, falam yarfuth walam yafsuq, raja'aka yawmin waladatu. The one who makes hajj lillah. Not so that now I also got the title. Well, I'll be able to also now, put it somewhere as my part of my profile. Or whatever else. And in that vein also, it's normal, meaning this will happen, that now a person is going for Hajj, so he wants to take the du'as of people also. He also wants to maybe clear up things with others. So in that process, he's going to tell them, I'm going for Hajj, please make du'a for me. Or he's going to tell them, look, I'm going for Hajj, so now sort out these matters. Well and good. But that too, we double check the intention, not twice, three times, five times. That is it just a kind of advertisement that I'm going also, or really just to take somebody's du'as? No harm in taking the du'as, we should take the du'as. Especially the pious of our community, the ulama ikram, the elders, seniors in our families, we should take the du'as. But at the same time, double check our intention. So in any case, one is that part of the aspect that the niyat must be very, very clear. And though this is now we're going right at the end, after returning from Hajj, that whatever one, many people know we went for Hajj, they're going to come, they're going to greet us, meet us, they're going to take du'as. But now to keep talking about it everywhere and anywhere, anybody doesn't know, so somehow he must get to know that I'm also Hadisab. Like one person now came as a mehman somewhere, so now the host, he wanted to now, well, okay, he called for the khadim and the servant, and he said to him, please bring some water and come. So now the water, he said, but bring water in that jug that I brought from my second Hajj. Bring water in that jug. So now here the whole story was that to impress this guest, that I'm a double Haji, not single also. Now, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Shakim, Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Shaykh used to give this incident, and he used to say in this one statement, this person washed down two Hajj. Because now the whole purpose here was to advertise this, that I am a double Haji. So now in this one statement, two Hajj got washed away. So now one is before Hajj, and likewise after Hajj. We don't keep now waiting for opportunities to say it. MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, somebody made a lot of tawaf. That is between you and Allah Ta'ala. Somebody managed to do some other amal very well. Alhamdulillah. Till the day of Qiyamah doesn't come and we don't get the result, we don't know what we did. We have no idea what is really done. When the result comes out, then we talk about it. Then we say, Ha umuqra'u kitabiya. Inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisabiya. On the day of Qiyamah then. Then go around, that person will go around with his book of good deeds, which was given to him in his right hand. And he will now run from person to person saying, listen, there's it, read my book. I knew this is, I was hoping for this. Then, by all means, but till then we don't know where we stand. So in any case, the preparation, one is the knowledge of it. Then the niyat, ikhlas and sincerity. Nothing is acceptable in the court of Allah Ta'ala without that ikhlas. So to double check and keep asking for that ikhlas. Ikhlas is not some button, we pressed it once and it's done. It's an ongoing process to keep refreshing that niyat and keep repelling all the wasawis of shaitan and taking out anything that is now getting mixed up into the process, any other wrong intention, any fasid intention, keep cleansing that out. In any case, this is the intention. Then, when a person now will go for Hajj, he goes for Hajj, as mentioned, one is just getting through the motions, and the other is doing the Hajj in a way that connects him to Allah Ta'ala. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Al-Hajjul Mabroor, Laysa Lahu Jaza'un Illa Al-Jannah. So one is Hajj. So one is the Hajj where the, mashallah, the necessary aspects were all completed. Completed with ikhlas, alhamdulillah. his Hajj, he did it correctly, inshallah, it will be accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam qualifies this in this Hadith Sharif, Al-Hajjul Mabroor. Now one meaning of Mabroor, the Muhaddithin explained, Maqbool. So accepted Hajj. So the Hajj got accepted, so Alhamdulillah. That Hajj, there's no reward except Jannat, meaning this Hajj will take him straight to Jannat. But the meaning of Mabroor comes from Bir. Bir means virtue. Good deed, Bir. So the Hajj which is filled with Bir, filled with virtue, filled with good deeds. Now one is the very basic level, there's no question about compromising that. Otherwise it's not going to be Maqbool also. But now this Mabroor, Bir. So in one hadith it is mentioned that the Sahaba asked, وَمَا بِرُّهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. That Hajjul Mabroor, such a great reward for it. What is this Bir? What's going to make it Mabroor? So now, in this particular Hadith Sharif, there's two aspects mentioned in another Hadith, another third aspect mentioned. But before getting to those particular details, whatever good deed a person does, and the more good deeds he does, the more it will become Mabroor. And on the other side, Allah forbid, the person involves himself in sin, in things that he should be far away from, to that extent is going to decrease the value of Hajj. Allah forbid, he might get deprived of the reward. In the ayat of the Quran Sharif that was recited at the beginning, Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Hajj ashurum ma'lumat, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ. So now the person who has now made Hajj farz upon him, he now embarked on Hajj, he's made the niyat, talbiyah, he's now taken on. Any case, just to one aspect, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited the labbaik, he got into a haram, then he mounted his conveyance. It is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahumma hajjatan la riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. We just discussed the point of ikhlas. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is now embarking on Hajj, whose Hajj can come a fraction close to the Hajj of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A fraction close to that level of ikhlas. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is starting off this journey, and now as he just enters into Ihram, he says, Ya Allah, make this Hajj such that there is no riya in it. There is no ostentation showing off in it. Wala sum'a, and there's no advertising in it. No trying to make oneself famous in it. Talking about it all the time. Who's giving us this lesson? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At such a moment in time, just now entered into Ihram, recited the labbaik, and now this is the manner in which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sets off giving the entire ummah this lesson. Be very, very, very conscious about your niyat and bringing ikhlas in the amal. In any case now, in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ. Now the person is going for Hajj. How is he supposed to conduct himself? So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوقْ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. فَلَا رَفَثْ. When a person enters into Ihram, there are many things that he is now restricted from. There are things which are permissible out of Ihram, but not permissible for him in Ihram. He cannot wear sewn garments in the way like, there's a common misconception, anything that has got one single stitch on it also, people say, no, it's not permissible. Whereas anything that's unsewn in the manner of clothing, like the towel a person has, a sheet, it's got a few stitches somewhere, in fact it's stitched on the edges, that's not an issue. So in any case now, wearing normal clothing, he can't, men won't cover their head, etc. There's so many restrictions. Likewise, the relationship between spouses, any level of it is all restricted in Ihram. That is Fala Rafat. And then Wala Fusuq, every sin. So sin is never permissible anywhere. Whether a person is going for Hajj, whether he's at home, whether it's a month of Ramadan, or whether out of Ramadan, sin is sin. But certain things become more serious in certain places, in certain times. So sin anyway is sin. But in Hajj, sin becomes far more worse. And that will remove it from the category of mabrur, from being filled with birr. Now the person is performing hajj, he's in ihram. In particular, two aspects, the two T's. Well, in any case, the two T's in another context, but two aspects of this, in this particular matter. One is the tongue. MashaAllah, a person has gone for hajj, so now he's in ihram. So 95%, 98% of other sins all get left behind. No matter what was going on behind, what was going on at home, that automatically gets cut off. But certain things, Allah forbid, person so easily falls in, even in hajj, even in Haram Sharif, even in front of Baytullah, sitting in front of Roza Mubarak within sight, sometimes within a barely meters away. But certain sins don't stop there also. And the most common sin is the sins of the tongue, ghibat, and all kinds of sometimes, Allah forbid, evil talk, obscene talk. People are sitting now in Mina, they don't know what to do, they're passing the time. Now they sit around in gatherings and start talking all kinds of things because they need to while the time away. Whereas Mina, again the sequence is, that's long after, but as it's coming up, Mina is a place of the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Allah Ta'ala says, when you've completed the other rites now, Arafat is completed now, Muzdalifah, you've come back, you're going to spend time in Mina now. So don't just while this time away. You are now in Mina. فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ آبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Previous, in the times of Jahiliyyah, people would come for Hajj in that manner of Jahiliyyah also. And then they would come, and in Mina they would pass the time. And how they would pass the time, they'll sing poetry, and then they'll praise their forefathers in the poetry, and all those things will carry on. And hours will go. Allah Ta'ala says, remember how you carried on that time. How you spent and wasted the time, while the time away in talking about your forefathers and singing poetry. Now you remember Allah Ta'ala like that, rather more than that. أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. Immerse yourself in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Tilawat of the Quran Sharif, Nawafil, Tasbihat, Durud Sharif, all the various forms of amal. Person is feeling tired, sleep away. But never make it a party atmosphere. Never make it a picnic spot. And never make it a place now to just pass time and while away the time. Rather sleep. But that idle talking and just whiling away the time away, now the person gets caught up in the sins of the tongue. And the other is the sins of the eyes. These are the two things, unfortunately, that wipe away all the rewards that a person was gaining. And the sin, these sins in the Haram Sharif, this is now multiplied so much more. In the Haram of Makkah Mukarramah, and the person is committing the sin of ghibat, he's misusing his gaze, that sin is also multiplied by 100,000. Just as that one subhanallah is multiplied 100,000, one salah is multiplied 100,000, the wrong is also multiplied accordingly. So now he went to take, but he's bringing back something else. So in any case, now to make this hajj mabroor, Allah Ta'ala says now, be very careful about this. فَلَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوقْ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجْ. Now subhanallah, there's so many things that could have been mentioned, but who can fathom the depth of the wisdom of Kalamullah, of Allah Ta'ala's Kalam. Now in Hajj, there's so many things to do, and likewise so many things to be careful about. But Allah Ta'ala highlights three things. Allah knows the fitrat of insan. Allah is the creator of insan. فَلَا رَفَثْ وَلَا فُسُوقْ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجْ. No quarreling and arguing and getting into issues in Hajj. Now where's quarreling and arguing? We normally, even at home, don't so easily just give somebody that advice. Now mustn't quarrel. Person is going for Hajj. He's going to Baytullah. He's going for a journey in a lifetime. And he's being told, don't quarrel. Because Allah Ta'ala knows the fitrat of this makhluk. What is his nature? Little bit of something that goes against his nature, something that goes against his preference. Let alone something that's really causing him takleef and really causing him some difficulty. Even if it's just something goes against his preference, he is now ready to start quarreling and arguing and fighting and whatever. Therefore, among the primary advices for the haji is that whatever one bag or two bags of necessities you need to take, but you take 22 bags of sabr and go up. That sabr is going to be extremely necessary and required at every step of that Hajj. Allah Ta'ala make it easy. We don't have even a fraction of those challenges that people used to have once upon a time. The journey would take them sometimes months. And by the time they reach there, it would be sometimes many, many months. And then the facilities were not what we have, anything close to it as well. It's sometimes extremely hot, sometimes extremely cold, depending on the seasons. And all that, mashallah, even in this time and age, so many people come. They don't all have that luxurious facilities that others may afford. They are sometimes in just the most basic of facilities and accommodation and whatever. Alhamdulillah, they're fulfilling everything. So now, things will happen. Sometimes somebody will cut the queue. Sometimes somebody will say something. Somebody will get irritated. But in every situation, wala jidala fil hajj. Hadith Sahib is being told, remember, wala jidala fil hajj. Now you want to make it mabroor. You want to make it that hajj which is filled with birr, filled with righteousness, with good deeds. And now come back with that lesson also. That now the person, he was so conscious about this, that the entire journey of Hajj, he did not get into any quarrels. Not that he wasn't tested. He got tested repeatedly. That entire Umrah, he got tested. But, wala jidala fil Hajj, that he stayed away from any quarrels, arguments. Inshallah, he spent his time in that manner, he'll bring back that lesson. For all small, petty, trivial things now, and make an issue of anything and everything, and find something to now make an issue about, that won't be his way anymore. He will be waiting and looking for ways to how to diffuse things. If something already started off also, wala jidala fil hajj, he'll be diffusing it. He'll come back with that also. Small, small, petty things, he'll be diffusing it. He'll be looking at ways and means of how to avoid issues. So in any case, this is one part of it. Then coming back to the Hadith Sharif, the Sahaba asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, birruha ya Rasulallah. What is this birr? So in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned two things. The other hadith, one aspect. The three aspects that were mentioned were, number one, ifshaw salam, making salam common. Now this is the birr of hajj. Person is going for hajj. We understand the importance of hajj, the greatness of hajj. That is also another point before we miss that point out. But to make this hajj mabroor, what is extremely important is to maintain the consciousness. Consciousness of where am I and what am I doing. The consciousness of the significance of the place I'm in and the action I'm doing. Mustn't just be something going through the motions. I'm making tawaf, what is this? I'm making tawaf of Baytullah. This is an emulation of the malaika that are making tawaf of the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And every step of this tawaf, every step, 10 rewards, 10 sins are forgiven, 10 stages are elevated. How many steps are going to be taken in that tawaf? And the person who makes one tawaf and he performs the 2 rakats, then kana ka itqi raqabatin, the reward of freeing one slave. And then so many other, every amal day is multiplied 100,000, subhanallah. Now to be conscious of this, to do it with that consciousness, what am I doing? I am in which place? What amal is this all about? And I'm now in front of Hajar Aswad, and I'm going to be making istilam of Hajar Aswad. What is the significance of this? And this came from Jannat. And it then became black with the sins of people. I'm going to be making istilam. What is the condition of my heart? Because this is going to endorse and stamp that on me. Is my heart clean? Never made tawbah. Now to be conscious of all this. These are just few examples. MashaAllah, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's Fadail Hajj. This has all the details in it to study this kitab very well and acquaint ourselves with all these aspects. This will give us the significance of so many things. Apart from Makkah Mukarramah, all the aspects of the visit to Madinah Munawwara and the aspects of presenting ourselves to convey our salams and to present our salams to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at the Rauza Mubarak and all the other aspects pertaining to the stay of Madinah Munawwara as well. Time is already running out. All this inshallah we'll find in this kitab Fazail Hajj. So this is one part of it, ifshaw salam, making salam common. Now we in our minds, we understand Hajj. Hajj is about tawaf, it is about sa'i, it is about Arafat, it is about Mina. Indeed, these are all the most fundamental things about Hajj. But now we want to make it magroor, not just go through the motions only. So the things that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is highlighting, ifshaw salam, making salam common. It'amut ta'am, feeding. Feeding how much? Must be one bagful, no qualification. How much? Whatever we can. Whoever, one person fed him something, half a meal. Like in the hadith of person who feeds a fasting person. The Sahaba said that to feed a fasting person, such a great reward, he gets a reward of his fast. Not everybody can afford this. Maybe he has one sip of water also, one date, you'll get the reward. So whatever is possible, but to make this feeding somebody, feeding whoever we can, how much we can, whenever we can, something or the other, ifshaw salam, it'amut ta'am, feeding. And the third aspect that is mentioned in another hadith, tibul kalam. Tibul kalam, talking gently, talking good words, being gentle in one's speech. Now subhanAllah, if a person maintains this throughout the Hajj, he will bring it back. And he'll come back with these lessons. So now, this is what's going to make it mabrur. To the extent that now he's going to do righteous deeds, he's going to do more and more good deeds, he's going to conduct himself in a way that now brings him closer to Allah Ta'ala with a'mal, that is going to enhance the Hajj. That's going to make it mabrur. Then just to touch on a few other points, that in the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned that the Haji and likewise the Mu'tamir, the person going for Umrah as well, and likewise the Ghazi fi sabilillah, these are the waft of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. These are the deputy, they are the delegation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala called them, fa'ajabu, they responded. So now when Allah called them and they responded, and this is something to be conscious about, to keep reminding ourselves, that Allah Ta'ala called, nobody goes on his own strength. Nobody goes with his resources. Nobody goes because he is able to go. He goes because Allah Ta'ala called him. To be very conscious about this and make a lot of shukr upon it. Feel happy over it at the same time. But at the same time also to cleanse ourselves, to prepare ourselves for presenting ourselves at Baytullah. One poet passed in India, Ghalib, and he said one couplet that Kaaba kis muh se jaoge ghalib, sharam tujhko magar nahi aati. How are you going to go in front of Kaaba Sharif? What face are you going to take and go there? Aren't you feeling ashamed? In other words, I can't go. It's not possible for me. Because I am so filthy and so dirty. My heart is so immersed in sin. How am I going to go there? So, a very great pious personality, that Mashaa Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, this is something that's going to create despondency in people. He said, no, this is not the way to express it. He said, isi muh se jaunga, ro ro ke usko manaunga, yu apni bigri ko banaunga, sharam ko khak mein milaunga. That I will go with the same face, but I will cry over my sins and repent. And in this way I will change that wretched situation of mine into a situation of fortunate situation. This is how I'm going to go. Sharam ko khak mein milaunga. I will just bury the shame in the sand and sort myself out. I won't feel shamed in the way that I don't do what's right now. That is also shaitan's deception, that now when the time comes to correcting something, then shaitan puts embarrassment. When the wrong was happening that time, there was no embarrassment. But now how to correct it? Now I'm feeling very embarrassed about it. No, that's the time now to put the embarrassment behind and correct it, to sort it out. So, in this Hadith Sharif it is mentioned that the Haji also is the deputy of, the deputation of Allah Ta'ala, he's part of the waft and the delegation going to Allah Ta'ala. They responded to Allah's call, فَأَسَأَلُوهُ فَأَعْطَاهُمْ. Now they make dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala showers His blessings upon them. This entire journey is a journey to take advantage of in dua. Dua and more dua and even more dua. Every opportunity that one can get for dua, never tire of making dua. And especially in the Mubarak places, Haram Sharif is already very Mubarak. Apart from that, in the days of Hajj, in Mina, in Arafat, especially in Muzdalifah, the time is very valuable, and to use this time in dua as much as we can. Then, already way out of time and past time, but just to now round off it, one more point, that when a person returns, so mashallah, Allah Ta'ala blessed with such a great opportunity, Allah Ta'ala gave this great bounty and gift. So now the issue is, a person went for Hajj, such a great ibadat, and everybody gave dua, and he was making dua also, that Allah Ta'ala blessed with Hajj Maqbool, Mabroor. And that is what dua we must make. But now, what is the sign that a person was blessed with a Hajj Maqbool? So the ulama have mentioned that there are certain signs that a person, for he can judge by himself. It is not for us to make judgment on anybody. That is Allah Ta'ala's as prerogative. Allah Ta'ala will judge each person, that whether somebody's Hajj got accepted, didn't get accepted, what happened, that's Allah Ta'ala's department, not ours. But for each person, for himself, he should be looking within himself. And there are certain signs that the ulama have mentioned, the great muhaddithin have mentioned. Among the signs that are mentioned, that when a person returns from Hajj, his life after Hajj is far better than his life before Hajj, in terms of his deen. He is now punctual on his salah, his a'mal are in place, his life is now on deen, he is more conscious about the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is living his life according to sunnah. This is a sign that inshallah his Hajj has been accepted. It's a sign. Nobody can say anything with certainty, but this is a sign that this person has been blessed with Hajjul Maqbool, Mabroor. Hassan Basri rahimahullah, a very great tabi'i, he used to state that the alamat and the sign of Hajj Maqbool, ayyarji'a zahidan anid dunya raghiban ilal akhirah. That a person returns from Hajj in such a condition, zahidan anid dunya. He still carries on with whatever his work of dunya is, but his heart is now detached from dunya. He doesn't get too thrilled about the frills and fancies of dunya. His heart is all the time about how to make dunya. He also does his work, he also earns his halal living, he also does whatever is necessary, whatever Allah blesses him with, he makes shukr upon it. But his heart, raghiban ilal akhirah, his heart is aspiring for akhirat. His heart is now focused towards akhirat, and he's yearning for jannat. He's yearning for the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in jannat, he's yearning for وَالنَّظْرَ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. As in one dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed, Ya Allah, bless us with this in jannat. Ya Allah, وَالنَّظْرَ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ. To be blessed with your vision in jannat. وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. And that yearning to meet you, Ya Allah. That becomes his heart. That is a sign that this person's Hajj was accepted. That he came back in a condition, zahidan anid dunya, raghiban ilal akhirah. Now, it started off with tawbah, with niyat, the niyat being solely for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, sincere tawbah, and then conducting oneself correctly throughout the journey of Hajj, then inshallah this will become the result at the end of the Hajj. Conducting oneself in a way that has been described in the many ahadith. We just touched on one or two ahadith. It wasn't time to go into many others. But the person who conducted himself correctly, that is the effect of that Hajj. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Man hajja walam yarfuz walam yafsuq. Person performed Hajj. And then again the same two things mentioned in the ayat. No rafaz and no fusuq. Any obscenity and no sin in general. Obscenity including those things that are normally permissible between spouses, but that too he refrained from because of ihram, and he refrained from all sin. Then raja'aka yawmin waladathu ummu. Now this very great bounty is being blessed upon him, that he returns like the day he was born, the day his mother gave birth to him. But what's highlighted here, walam yafsuk. Obviously, he performed all the rites of Hajj, but he did not commit sin. That is the very crucial thing. And as mentioned, the two very common aspects, the sins of the tongue and sins of the eyes. And then we mentioned two T's. Well, the one T is the tongue. Two T's to be careful about. One is the tongue. Very careful. And the other T is the T of time. That a person looks after his time. Because this time is more valuable than gold. More valuable than all the gold in the world. So, we all have our needs. He needs to sleep, he needs to eat, he needs to do whatever. But he looks after his time and spends his time productively. Spends his time profitably. Then the end result of this will be that when he returns, he will return in this condition. That he's returning with the signs of Hajj Maqbool. His life after Hajj will be a different life. He'll be very conscious about his salah, his amal, staying away from sin, his appearance, whatever other aspects of life that needed to be corrected, inshallah, he'll come in a better condition. His heart will come in a better condition. Raghiban zahidan anid dunya, raghiban ilal akhirah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept the Hajj of all the Hujjaj. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant each one Hajj maqbool, mabroor. And Allah ta'ala make it a means of khair and barakat and afiyat for the entire ummah. And every mu'min, his heart must be attached to the Hajj. Whether he's sitting at home, but such a great amal taking place, he should be also with the Hujjaj, in their amal, in his heart. And taking the lessons and the message, and the inspirations of Hajj. One person was seeing the Hujjaj of pious person, in those days, now it's mentioned in one kitab, he was now came to the, where the harbor, and now the whole group of Hujjaj are leaving. So now he was very, very heartbroken that all these people, they're going to Baytullah, I'm sitting behind, I'm left behind. So he was now very sad, very heartbroken. And in any case, he shed his tears. But as they departed now he's thinking that this was the sorrow and grief for not being able to reach Baytullah. And it's a very noble grief. Very, very great sorrow this is. Allah accept those tears, subhanallah. So he thought to himself and he said that yes, this is, well, alhamdulillah, this is a very good thing that a person feels grieved over having been left behind, so to say, from reaching, from joining the Hujjaj. Inshallah, Allah makes that the means of the door opening out for him as well. But then he reflected and felt, this, maybe another chance also might come. And if it's not will that he might go, he will get rewarded for this feeling of his. He'll get rewarded over these tears he shed. So subhanallah, he's still gaining. But Allah forbid, this is now the sorrow over not having reached Baytullah. But what will happen on the day of Qiyamah, the person realized, he didn't reach Rabbul Bayt. He didn't gain the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. He didn't connect himself to Allah Ta'ala. He was far away, he distanced himself from Allah Ta'ala. With all the things he was doing, how he was living his life. What amends he's going to make there? No chance of any amends. What grief will be then experienced? If the grief of being distanced from Baytullah is so great, then from being distanced from Rabbul Bayt, what will be that grief on the day of Qiyamah? So while every Hadi is preparing for his Hajj, every person, every mu'min, he has to be preparing to connect himself to Allah Ta'ala. So that on the day of Qiyamah, and who knows when our Qiyamah starts, man mata faqad qamat qiyamatuhu, person who's passed away, his Qiyamah started. So before that moment comes, we have to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, so that when our time comes, we are leaving this dunya in a way, Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accept us, Allah Ta'ala grant us also the tawfiq of complete, of cleansing our hearts out of everything Allah is displeased with, and connecting ourselves to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We've taken a lot of time, and just make dua briefly. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وعنت الوجوه للحي القيوم يا أحدا صمدا لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا
ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihimi. Rabbana ghalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbi ighfir warham wa'fu wa takarram wa tajawaz amma ta'lam innaka antal a'az wal akram. ربنا توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين, والحمد لله رب العالمين.